For years, people who donated sperm to help infertile couples conceive children were assured that there would be anonymity associated with it. That's all about to change. Professor Paula Gerber is from Monash University's Caston Centre for Human Rights. Paula, good morning to you.
Good morning, John.
This has been decades in the build-up. What's the new law going to provide for?
The new law provides that now all donor-conceived children, those before 1998 and those after, have access to information about who their donor was, if that information still exists. So the government has basically stripped away the anonymity that was in place and said, no, we're going to allow these donor-conceived individuals access to the information. We recognise that it's important to their identity of and construction of who they are. However, we're not going to force the donors to have a relationship with them. So it's all going to be managed through VARTA, the Victorian Assistive Reproductive Technology Association, and if a donor says, count me out, I've promised anonymity, I want to have nothing to do with these 10 people who were conceived from my sperm, then they don't have to have any contact, and then, in fact, the donor-conceived children are not allowed to contact them.
And there are penalties for doing so, but they will know their identity.
They will know their identity, that's right. And I think that is a good thing. I think that what we've learned from adoption and from the stolen generation and other experiences like that is that secrecy is toxic. Secrecy is terribly harmful to people's psychological well-being and mental health. And therefore, if we can remove some of this secrecy, we absolutely should do that. And I, in fact, say that the law reform needs to go further. That, in fact, we haven't gone far enough yet.
How much further do you want it to go?
Well, what we've allowed these individuals now is access to the information about their donor. What we are learning a lot from America is that children conceived by sperm donation would also like to have contact with what has been termed their diblings, which is donor siblings. And in
diblings?
The United States, diblings. Isn't that a great word?
Yeah, did you make that one up?
I did not. I wish I could claim credit for it.
Oh, whoever did is a genius.
It's brilliant, isn't it? So there is a dibbling registry, donor sibling registry in the United States that has 52,000 people that have registered on it, and 13,000 of those people have made connections with their donor siblings. And I think we need to have a similar process in Australia so that in many instances the donor will have perhaps died or doesn't want contact or the records don't exist anymore, but there's an opportunity for these donor-conceived children to connect with others like them.
So if the dibbling networks grow, it's a bit like the adoption revelations from when adoption records were opened up a generation ago, I suppose. Do you see it as analogous?
Yes, I absolutely do. And I think we need to learn a lot from that history. People need to know their genetic origin. Well, not all people. Some people happily go through life having no interest, no curiosity in contacting the parents who gave them up for adoption. But for others, they feel incomplete without that information.
Yep.
And the relationship. So I think we need to cater for everyone.
Text message just finally from Dan saying, well, goodbye future sperm donors. Do you think this then deters people from in future doing what helps infertile couples by donating sperm if they know that their identity will be revealed?
No, not at all, because we changed the law promising anonymity in the 1990s, and we've been having sperm donation continuing unabated since then. Most people, the research shows, are doing sperm donation not because they get $50 to spend at the pub or whatever it might be, but because they actually want to help infertile and childless couples. And maybe they have been touched by infertility themselves, perhaps their wife is infertile or their sister. And so they're doing it for the right reasons, and they know when they do it.
I didn't know it was $50 either. That might change people's minds. Thank you, Paula.
There's also an age limit, John, I think.
Professor Paula Gerber from the Monash University Law School Caston Centre for Human Rights.